In the first CD, we discussed the Torah's prohibition on imitating Hukat HaGoyim, customs of the nations. This principle plays a major role in how Orthodox Judaism today relates to trends and customs in Western society. But the customs of the nations are only forbidden if they are connected to Avodah Zarah. For example, many in Orthodox Judaism follow modern fashion trends, so long as they are modest. We don't see men walking around in tunics anymore, but rather pants. So most Orthodox Jewish men wear pants. Fashion trends are not usually connected to idolatry, and thus are permissible to be followed. Basically, if something is secular, it is okay, but if something is connected with a foreign religion, it is forbidden. The 16th century authoritative Jewish law code, the Shulchan Aruch, states, "Practices observed by Gentiles are forbidden to be followed when they stem from an idolatrous source or are without logic. Gentile customs that are practiced for a logical reason are permissible." Therefore, there are two criteria. It must be completely devoid of the appearance of idolatry and also be able to be explained logically. This means it could have originated in idolatry, but if it is no longer practiced for that reason today and has, in a sense, lost its origin, it is okay. An example would be our current Gregorian calendar. Although this was created by idolaters and many of the month names are named after pagan gods, such as January for the Roman god Janus, no one today who uses the Gregorian calendar honors these gods or believes they have any power. So its pagan origin is completely lost, and the system of the calendar is logical. Therefore, under halakha, it is permissible to use it to plan out one's daily life. But once again, this is not so cut and dry. There are some Orthodox Jews who do not wear ties because they believe it is an illogical custom of the Gentiles. And on the other hand, there are some who feel it is logical and therefore have no problem wearing ties. Hence the age-old saying, two Jews, three opinions. We can learn an important lesson from this scenario. If Christianity started out as a sect of Judaism, then we too need to be comfortable with the tension of opposing viewpoints, within reason, as to what is permitted and what is not. This is no better illustrated than the three halakhic viewpoints concerning Thanksgiving. Most of us who grew up in America would not think twice about participating in Thanksgiving celebrations. It is a time to remember the bountiful harvest that God bestowed not only upon the pilgrims after first coming to America, but also the blessings that He bestows upon us every day. There are no supposed pagan origins to the holiday, and in fact, some even believe it was based upon the biblical festival of Sukkot. So it's kosher, right? In the Jewish mindset, there are a few issues to be dealt with. First, Thanksgiving is obviously not a Torah holiday, therefore there is a question to its permissibility. Second, the first pilgrims were Christians, and thus there is the Jewish concern that this could be construed as a Christian holiday, and thus understandably off limits to Jews. Rabbi Michael Broyd discusses this issue in an article entitled, "Is Thanksgiving Kosher?" He points out that there are three major halakhic opinions about the permissibility of celebrating Thanksgiving. The first is that of Rabbi Huttner, who passed away in 1980. Rabbi Huttner himself is not concerned at all about the origins of the Thanksgiving festival, but states emphatically that it is forbidden to celebrate any holiday that follows the secular Gregorian calendar. Festivals dependent on this calendar, such as the 4th of July and Thanksgiving, were not to be participated in by Jews. He is even to be reported as refusing to schedule Sunday morning prayer time a few hours later than in weekdays in order to let people sleep in, lest there was an inkling of treating Sunday different than any other weekday. Needless to say, his opinion is not followed by the majority of the Orthodox community today. The second opinion is that of the late Rav Moshe Feinstein, who passed away in 1986. Rav Feinstein drew a sharp distinction between American holidays that were religious, such as Christmas, and those that were secular, such as the 4th of July. Nevertheless, he was unsure as to how to classify Thanksgiving. In other words, he was unsure of the Christian origins. Therefore, because he was unsure, he felt it best not to participate, but he did allow for someone who was 100% sure it was not Christian in origin to celebrate and to do things such as eat turkey and other festive foods. The third opinion is that of Rav Soloveitchik, who passed away in 1993. Rav Soloveitchik not only felt that it was permissible to celebrate and that there was no intrinsic Christian origins to the festival, but that it was also a big part of being an American citizen. He in turn celebrated it himself and would end his daily lecture on Thanksgiving early in order to get home to eat the festive meal. This opinion has largely won out and is followed by most Orthodox Jews in America today. So what's the point in discussing this? Don't misunderstand me. I'm not at all questioning whether or not it is appropriate to celebrate Thanksgiving. I'm just using the discussion as an example of how Judaism deals with these type of issues. As followers of Messiah, we should have no problem with Christian origins, and Thanksgiving should not be an issue. The purpose of discussing these three views on Thanksgiving is to further illustrate what we learned from the rabbinic disagreements about neckties. Issues of Avodah Zarah and imitating the customs of the nations are complex, and even in Orthodox communities, there is wide disagreement on what is permissible and what is not. Just as we can assume that each of these great rabbis would respect the differing opinions, no matter how much they adamantly disagreed, so we should do the same. As we progress forward with this study and are presented with the information, each one of us may draw sharply differing conclusions as to personal practice, and that is okay, so long as we are all trying to honor Hashem and his prohibitions against Avodah Zarah, and we respect our brothers and sisters' rights to disagree with us. Let's continue with the biggest holiday on the Christian calendar, Christmas. Most in the West are familiar with the tradition of Messiah's birth on December 25th, but few are familiar with the less popular Greek Orthodox Armenian tradition of celebrating it on January 6th. Both dates are later developments and unsupported by early tradition or biblical evidence. The earliest Christians not only did not celebrate the Master's birth, but they appear to have little interest in figuring out the exact date either. The Gospels themselves provide no actual date, much less even a definitive clue. The Gospel of Mark, which scholars purport as the earliest Gospel to circulate, does not even contain the nativity story. It is not until 200 years after Yeshua's birth that the church writers begin to speculate as to when the birth actually took place. Torah Club Volume 4 states, "No trace of a tradition from the early Jewish believers connects the birth of the Messiah with December 25th or any other calendar date. 2 centuries after the event, Clement of Alexandria reports several different days proposed by various Christian groups. But he does not mention December 25th at all. Instead, Clement reports one tradition corresponding to April 20th on our civil calendar and another tradition corresponding to May 20th. So where did December 25th come in? Torah Club Volume 4 continues, "By the middle of the 4th century, however, the Roman Church had begun to honor December 25th while churches in the East, Asia Minor, and Egypt observed Jesus' birth on January 6th. By December 25th, the days begin to grow visibly longer. Based upon the increasing light of the solstice associations, various pagan mythologies also associate the birth of their gods and demigods with December 25th. Critics assume that the church chose December 25th as a matter of syncretism with older religious ideas about sun worship and the birth of demigods."